There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Welcome back to the Infinity Warm-Up. We are so glad that you could join us for Chapter 15, Spider-Man Homecoming. At least I think it's Chapter 15.
For me, it's like 6.
Chapter
16? Oh my gosh.
For me, it's like 6.
This week, we are talking about Spider-Man Homecoming. Forget about that part. In Spider-Man Homecoming, we follow the adventures of young Peter Parker, the first one that's actually young, as he makes his forays into the Avengers and takes the quote-unquote Stark internship. Meanwhile, he also uncovers a plot to steal alien technology and use it for criminal activity. And this involves sort of things. No.
Well, that's a new thing because usually it's they take over the world.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about that actually. But absolutely, it's really just about this one guy and his crew trying to sell some stuff and Iron Man is involved in this particular film, but it also is about Spider-Man's journey through high school.
Pretty puny, if you think about it.
He is. That kid's not puny, man.
No,
that
no,
kid's
no, I'm talking about
me.
The plan, but anyway.
Oh, right. Today, as we continue Infinity Week, we are joined by Megan, Daniel, Jacob, and Mackenzie. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hi.
Daniel took the reins yesterday, and he's going to take the reins tomorrow. Because we do Ragnarok, and I also have not forgotten that bald joke you made in the intro, so...
Neither have I.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for that.
Feel Steve's wrath of the show.
He'll, like, cut you out of
it. All right. Yeah, we just edit Daniel out. Well, okay, so again, as we always start with, was this the first time for any of you seeing it? You hadn't seen it? No, you had. Oh, you saw it with me.
Hi.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I've seen it, like, once before, but I don't remember all that much.
All right, so what do you think about Spider-Man Homecoming?
It's my favorite one.
Okay, give me more than that. That's, yeah.
It's my favorite because, like, Peter Parker, he's like my age.
Okay.
He's 15. So, it, like, it's like a more relatable situation. Otherwise, the Spider-Man thing and Vulture, but, like, the rest of, like, his little struggles about, like, just high school in general is, like, kind of relatable for, like, 15-year-old boys in a 15-year-old boy situation in which Spider-Man is in. And it's like, he's also like the underdog of like all the superheroes. Like, and no one really believes in him, except Tony Stark. And then after that, he also always like says he has something to prove, like how he hacked the tracking chip and threw it out. So he's like trying to prove himself.
Okay. Very cool.
It's one of my favorites as well. I really, really enjoy it. I just like the overall feel of the film. Like, I like the... I love Tom Holland. I think he's a great Spider-Man. I think he's incredible.
He's the best Spider-Man, for sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of their... I've seen Andrew Garfield's, but...
Not Tobey Maguire.
Well, the crying one.
Yeah, the whiny
one. He's not just the crying one. It's not like he cries the whole movie.
He cries the whole movie.
He does.
I don't remember all that. All I remember is the guy with the thin head. The literally like tall head, you know? Which one is that one?
Steve.
I'm not good with actors' names.
So that's okay. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm not good with male characters, male actors' names. So what's the guy with this tall head? Was in one of the Spider-Man movies.
That was Andrew Garfield. I don't know.
But yeah, Steve, watching Tobey Maguire's versions of Spider-Man was like a Young and the Restless just made by Spider-Man.
No.
Yo!
Spider-Man 2, I would argue very strongly that Spider-Man 2 is one of the perfect superhero movies. I still think Spider-Man 2 is like the perfect. So it's in the conversation for perfect superhero
film.
Pre-MCU.
I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I think he's incredible.
Yeah, he's the best.
I love his sidekick. I love Ned. Ned is incredible.
Yeah, Ned's the best.
I freaking love Ned. He's hilarious. Michelle, is that her name?
Yeah, MJ. MJ.
MJ.
Michelle's the best.
Yeah, MJ.
Yeah, she's funny. Yeah. I find that MJ's all the characters. The best. I find that all the characters are kind of likable, which is something nice.
Yeah.
Like even Vulture's character is kind of likable in a way. Yeah. Like he's not completely like he's not like I want him to die. Like I understand where he's coming from, kind of thing. He wants to help his family, and he is feeling kind of lost with everything, and he lost his job, lost this, so he's. I get it, but I really, really like this movie. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Well, when he actually has a reason to take down the Avengers, I think.
Well, I don't think he's even trying to. I don't think he's even trying to take down the Avengers. He's trying to avoid the Avengers. Ew. He says, "I'm doing this under. We only survive if we're under the radar."
But hold on, that's.
But his goons of sidekicks are like making it so hard.
Well, yeah, that's their fault.
I know.
Well, I really enjoyed this movie. I do like how it's, like, it starts off as, like, Peter already being Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We've already seen, like, Spider-Man origin stories.
Twice.
So I'm very happy that it wasn't another one. And that it was also, like, it was different from what, like, we've seen before in the Spider-Man movies. Which I really liked because it made it different, but you also, like, you know... could relate that, you know, that's still the same Spider-Man that, you know, I've seen before or that I've read before if you've read the comics.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But I just think, you know, the movie was done really well and it was a really good movie.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it, I remember when it came out, I didn't want to see it and it was just because, well...
Shame on you.
Why?
Because Tom Holland.
I didn't want to see it.
It's not about
time. I wanted to see it because I was going to podcast
about,
on
Jazz Fest.
No, but
Jazz Fest.
No, but,
yeah, okay,
but,
Jazz Fest.
No, but I understand why Steve didn't want to see it because like all the movie has been like all the movies has been like oh Uncle Ben and
well, hey, Uncle Ben's pretty important, but it's like
no, but it's all
his
about
uncle
great,
that dies.
But it's all about like great power and great responsibility, and I feel like they're going to bring
died.
It back some more.
He's been dead.
He's been dead since like the first movie, then the second.
Since the second movie, there hasn't been a good Spider-Man movie.
It can't die.
I don't like either of the Amazings. Spider-Man 3 is just terrible. And then when they say they're rebooting it, they always go back to the original origin story. They didn't do that this time, which I like.
I like how Iron Man is, like, his mentor. Like,
yeah.
He's, like, it's a big-name hero that, like, everyone that pays attention to superheroes knows Iron Man. So it's, like, a big-name hero that is mentoring Spider-Man. So it's, like, someone that is so much more experienced.
One of the things that struck me about this movie... is that Robert Downey Jr. has never looked older than when you pitted him against a Red Bull infused 18-year-old kid who's literally bouncing off the walls. Keep in mind that like three movies ago, he was the cool guy, and he looked so old compared to all these teenagers. It just was like, whoa.
I thought he was 15.
You thought Robert Downey Jr.
No.
was 15?
No, Peter.
He's Iron Boy.
And Peter.
No, Peter's 18 years old, really, but he's in the movie. They said he was 15.
Oh, okay.
Tom Holland is 18,
right.
Or he was when he filmed it. Now he's 20.
Like
20.
Yes, Megan. Yes.
So me and him might actually have.
Actually, what? I can actually get. Oh no, he's with Zendaya. God damn it.
Who?
Like, what?
And Zendaya?
You're like, who is Zendaya?
You mean Zendaya? Zendaya?
Zendaya?
Zendaya.
I was closer than Enzaya. Here's a question for you guys. Who did you relate to the movie? Here's a question for you guys. Who did you relate to the most in
Ned.
This movie? You related to Ned.
The Washington
Monument.
Okay.
You've been climbing.
Let's not explore that. Go ahead.
So I like the movie, and I think my favorite character would have to be Michael Keaton. Right.
Really? Vulture.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's so like he's hypnotizing.
Jack Nicholson?
No.
Jack Nicholson.
That was great.
That was funny. Yeah.
That was great.
I told you, same movie, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I'm telling you, yeah, it's all good. It's
okay. Because he's so hypnotizing.
What?
What?
Hypnotizing?
Excuse me.
No.
Oh, wait, now we know that you're into the older guys, eh?
Wait, all right, don't get creepy.
I'm literally dying. Hold on.
I just don't know what you mean by hypnotizing.
He makes you believe what he said, like, says is true.
You mean manipulating?
That's a better word.
He's just believable.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Even though what he's saying is wrong. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
It no, it does. Yeah, no, it does. That's fine.
Okay.
Good thinking.
I think Michael Keaton's just scary. It, like, naturally born scary. His face.
He might be.
When I found out that he was one girl's Liz's father, I'm just like, what? Oh my god. What? Yeah,
that's a great
coincidence.
Twist.
What's a coincidence? What a coincidence. Yeah.
Okay. So, which character do you relate to the most? Maybe it is the most hypnotizing villain. That's Michael Keaton, or maybe who's one of those?
I said Ned.
Ned. Okay.
Because he's really awkward. Like, he's very awkward in every situation, kind of, that he's in. Like, when the teacher found him, it's like, what are you doing? Watching porn? Like, he was so awkward, and I feel like I can relate to the awkward side of him. Because I feel I'm like that sometimes in social situations. And, yeah, he has a close relationship with his one friend. And I feel like that's also kind of the same with me. I have a very close relationship with my friends as well. I'm not as smart as him. I'm smart, but in a different way than him. I'm not, like, techie computer smart.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I just like him as a character.
Okay.
And I feel like he's very relatable as a student, and I like him. He's nice.
Good.
I like the guy who plays him. I don't know his name, but I like the guy who plays him.
It's Ned. I think his Ned, actor's Ned. Name is Ned.
Just great. Ned.
Just Ned. Just like Cher or Zendaya. Zendaya?
Enzyma.
I relate to the one girl. What's her name?
Liz.
No,
MJ.
Not her.
MJ.
Sure.
Michelle.
Zendaya.
You say all these names.
The girl. No, they're the same person. The girl with the curly hair.
Yes.
Okay.
Her, because she has this attitude to her that she doesn't really care about certain things, and like, yep, that's me right there. Yeah.
Okay.
Like she went when Peter's just like on his phone, and then Happy texts him, and then she's just like, "Hey, what are you doing? You hiding something, Peter?" No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. Go on, do whatever. Just like, yep, that's me.
It was a terrifying scene.
I know.
Was like, who, me?
Happy just in the washroom, just waiting for a young
kid. I'm the kid
child.
That was in the washroom.
No.
Like,
And then,
yeah, that scene.
Terrible stare.
At least they admit it. Like, he's like, how long have you been standing here? Long enough to be awkward. Excellent. That about sums it up.
Like, how many, like, boys came in and came out and were like, who is this man?
Who's this old guy?
How long
in a suit.
Just sitting there waiting.
Right? Like, help.
As soon as I see him, I'd be gone.
I'd
be like, girls, watch
me. I've got Pino.
I know the answer to this, but Jacob, who do you relate to the most?
Oh, haha, you think I'm going to say Spider-Man.
I don't know who you're going to say.
You thought I was going to say that.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
Just answer the damn question.
To be honest.
That wasn't funny. I think I relate to...
Not the teacher.
The teacher.
Definitely not.
Flash Thompson.
No.
Why are you asking me who you relate to?
Because I don't know who I relate to.
You
know what?
Why don't we go back to there? Okay, go ahead.
Spider-Man, just because.
Why?
I think I'm Spider-Man because, like, we both, like, try to do things the right way, but, like, sometimes it doesn't turn out the right way.
Mm-hmm.
It goes the wrong way.
I can see you
as Spider-Man. And we're also, like, part of, like, sort of say humorous side. I'm also, like, I don't know. I'm not kind of outgoing. And that's, like, what Spider-Man is he constantly tries. And he, like, just doesn't give up. So I think we have that in common. And, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see
Daniel.
I can see you being a Spider-Man.
Captain America.
No, yeah.
<he's> Captain America.
Patience.
Patience.
I don't know. I haven't really, like, thought about it, like, I don't really know who I actually do relate to. I know who I would want to relate to.
Who's that?
Iron Man.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because, like, you know, he's, like, a leader type of person.
Mm.
And that's, like, you know, what I, like, strive to be and what I want to be. So I think, like, I want to relate to him. I mean, I'm not, like, you know, billionaire philanthropist, narcissist.
Yeah. He doesn't listen to narcissist.
Yeah, he does.
In one no, of them, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist. He doesn't say narcissist.
In one of them, he does.
Okay, all right.
So I don't really relate to him in that way, but I think, like, you know, in, like, kind of, like, his, like, kind of better traits, I think I can relate, or, like, you know, I would want to. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever related to Tony Stark more than I did in this movie. And it's because it's... I don't know. It's
a pastor, so I think it's kind of your...
It feels that way. It honestly, it feels like he feels like a youth pastor. In and actually, he it's interesting. He actually makes a comment at one point. He says, "My dad never gave me support, and I'm just trying to break the cycle," which means he's taking on the role of dad there. But like I said before, it's such an interesting switch because he's always the show. He's always been the show in every movie he's in. He's so either the center or just off the center. Like Civil War, I guess it's not really about him, but it is about him. This is the first time where he takes a back seat, and he takes a back seat to a teenager. And the his whole relationship with him is based on helping to support him and bring him on. And, you know, how can he develop him and take care of him? You know, whether he does that well or not is debatable for you guys. I'd love to hear what you guys think about that, but to me, like, I came away from this and like, holy crap, I actually relate to Tony.
Tony Stark.
I am Tony Stark.
Tony Stank,
right.
Yikes.
So, you know, in relation to that, I mean, you could answer that question too, whether you think he takes that role well, but what do you think, after all we've seen, and in this particular film, what makes an Avenger? A lot of this movie is talking about, Peter is obsessed with being an Avenger.
I think one of the things is drive. Like,
okay.
Like, determination kind of, determination and, like, wanting it. Because I think as much as, Spider-Man, Peter Parker messed up a lot in the movie, he did some things that were wrong or that weren't, like, didn't work out very well, but he wanted to help people and he wanted to save people and he wanted to do things for the greater good. So I think determination and kindness, I think. Because
mm-hmm.
he is trying to ultimately help people. He's just messing up. And I think that's what... I think it shows that he's human and that he is a superhero, but he's not, like, completely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it shows his inexperience. It shows his lack of, like... His, like, lack of knowledge compared to, like, what someone like Captain America would have.
He's 15.
Or something, yeah, right? So, like, it shows his... Like, when he's being a hero, his age really shows in this movie.
Okay, what do you mean?
Like, he wouldn't do something Iron Man would do. Like, he's not, like, that, like, mature or, like, smart. Like, he's smart, right?
Mm.
But, like, he's not, like, as superhero smart. What I'm trying to say is, like, he...
Are you talking, like, maturity?
Yeah, but like, there's a difference between, like, normal smarts and then superhero smarts.
Okay.
And my reason for saying that is, like, Captain America, when he first came out of his, like, what was it? 65 years? 7 years?
64.
65.
When he first came out of his 65 years frozen, he was superhero smart, but he wasn't smart when it came down to technologies and stuff.
Right, right, right.
But, like, Spider-Man, he's smart book-wise. But, like, some of his superhero choices really show his age.
Hmm.
Because there was a couple times where he didn't need to go after them.
Okay.
And he could have laid back and trapped them another time.
Okay. Yeah, I hear
what you're saying. Like, when they were on the ferry, he should have reacted, like, more laid back-wise. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, Iron Man, like you said, you don't always have to assume I'm not caring. Because, like, Iron Man is... there. So, yeah, like, I feel like he's just very inexperienced, but he's also really good at the same time.
Okay.
I think, I don't know, maybe I'm, like, not looking at it in Tony's perspective, but he's given him, like, a lot of ways why he didn't trust him. Like, He tells him, okay, he hasn't contacted him for months, and then all of a sudden this happens with
Vulture,
and he doesn't even listen to him, quote unquote, and does nothing. And then at the last minute on the ferry, I think it was, he finally does something, and he gets blamed for it because he was only doing what was right, or to help. I mean, I didn't think he did do it in the best way, but at least he did something. None of the Avengers showed up. Tony didn't show up. That just pissed me off in the movie. But anyway, that's just that. But I can't remember what I was going to say about the other question.
It's okay. Do you want to answer that?
I think to be like an Avenger, you have to have like heart.
What do you mean by heart?
Like, you know how after like the fairy scene, like Peter says like, "Oh, I need the suit." I'm nothing without the suit. And Tony says, I don't know the exact line, but it's like, you know.
If you can't have it, then you shouldn't have it. Or wait, no.
If
you're nothing without the suit, then you shouldn't have it.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I think to be an Avenger, like, it's not about having superpowers. It's not about having, like, the suit. Like, obviously, like, we've seen, like, you know, Captain America, who has, like, superpowers. He has, like, the super soldier serum. Iron Man has the suit. So, like, everybody kind of has something, but Peter, well, he has, like, spider powers-ish. But I think it takes, like, a good heart. Like, you have to be a good person overall to be an Avenger. Because, like, although, you know, Tony has his flaws, I think overall he is a good person. Captain America constantly shows that he's a good person, but we've also seen that he has flaws also. And I think everybody who is an Avenger, like, yes, they have done things that are wrong, and yes, they have shown that there are times when they aren't, like, quote-unquote the good guy. They overall are just good people in general. And I think to be an Avenger, like, Peter really had to show that he was a good person. He had, like, and he was able to kind of take the time to, like, you know, think, is this my time to step in? Is it not? So, like, that was something that he struggled with was, you know, is this my time to shine? And obviously, in the end, I think when he needed to step up, he did.
What do you think about his relationship with Tony? Like, do you think that Tony was unfair to him? Do you think he was unfair to Tony? Do you think that they were both right, both wrong? What do you guys think?
I feel like they were both wrong.
They're both wrong? Okay. What do you mean?
Iron Man was guiding him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Spider-Man, he tried to overdo himself. Like, he constantly kept trying to prove himself. Meanwhile, Iron Man already knew what he was capable of. But Spider-Man still kept thinking that he still had something to prove. So he let his emotions get to him. And Iron Man could have done more to, like, guide him better to where he doesn't feel his emotions, but there is only so much Iron Man can do. And I feel like Iron Man should have told Happy to be a little bit more, like, guiding of Spider-Man, because he said...
Go ahead.
Oh, because he said Happy said he was responsible if Spider-Man dies.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Happy didn't really care at that moment in time because he was busy moving.
Mm-hmm.
But as his job was to guide Spider-Man, he didn't guide Spider-Man enough.
Okay.
Didn't he say if he dies, it's on him, not Happy?
Does Tony say that?
Tony says, and if you die, that's on me.
Well, that makes sense now that we've gone back and watched them, though, because Tony feels responsible for that kid in Sokovia. You know, there's that kid that just happened to be there, and that was the whole reason for the Sokovia Accord, right?
What happened was when he said, what if someone died on the ferry? And then after that, he's like, that's on you. And then he said, and if you die, that's on me.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like they are both wrong in some ways. Because, Peter should have been more laid back, but Tony should have been more open to his plan and not keep him in the dark. Mm. Because that'll confuse him to think that he's not helping. Which, again, pisses me off. But anyway, yeah, but Peter should have, like, listened to Tony a little bit and lay back. Yeah.
It's okay.
I don't know, I feel like Tony's at fault, but I also think that he's at fault too. I don't know.
Okay.
Still going to for towards Tony.
I think, Peter definitely should have listened to when Tonya was, like, was telling him, like, you know, stop, like, I can handle this, and, like, you know, stop, it's not your place to, like, step in, because, you know, there were multiple times when Peter could have died. Obviously, he didn't, but there's always that chance where if he makes the wrong move, that could have been it. So I really think Peter should have listened to Tony. But I agree with Mackenzie. I think Tony should have been a bit more open with everything because, like, you know, after the fairy scene again, like, Tony was just like, oh, who do you think's the one that called the FBI? And it's like, you know, Peter didn't know that. I think it would have been better if, you know, he was just like, oh, like, I'll call the FBI or I'll call, like, you know, should have been a bit more open with his plan.
Like, what would have happened?
Instead of just, like, leaving him in the dark.
Like, what would have happened if they were on an Avengers mission? Like, all the Avengers, and Tony does something, and the rest of the gang doesn't know about it, and then this happens, and then they end up dying or something like
that. You mean, like, creating Ultron?
Yeah!
That's kind of the same story there, actually.
That wouldn't have been good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny watching it this time. What I really picked up on was a couple of things. First of all, I had a much bigger problem with Happy than I did with Tony.
To be honest.
Yeah,
he was really stupid.
He was a dick.
He kind of is.
He ignored him, and he ignored.
And I feel like Tony used him like a babysitter, which is fine, but he viewed himself as a babysitter, and I think he thought he was too important for the job. So I actually had a biggest problem with Happy in this movie, watching it again. But one of the things that struck me was this idea of humility, because I think that Happy more so than Tony, because I don't think there's any particular time where Tony doesn't listen to him in the same way that Happy doesn't. Mm-hmm. Happy won't even take his calls.
Happy ignores him all the time.
Happy ignores him. So there's this idea that I'm too good for this from Happy, but there's also this idea that I'm too good from this from Peter. You know, he's bouncing up and down the bed, and he says, you know, why does he treat me like a kid? And which is ironic because he's jumping on the bed. And I think Ned says to him, but you are a kid. And then, you know, all the thing. But I will say this, you know, the protocols are listed that Tony made. And it's the training wheels protocol and the baby monitor protocol.
Like,
so
maybe
it's,
you should call it something else.
Again, semantics, right? I don't know if that's a pride issue or just him being a jerk and just being, like, sarcastic.
I mean, that's something that's such a sarcastic nature, but I don't think Spider-Man gets that quite yet. So he's like, hey.
Yeah, like, one of the things I found is that you got two people here that could do a lot of good together, or three people there that could do a lot of good together, if they set aside their egos and listen to one another.
True.
And yes. How often does fear or anger or that, when you're in the middle of a conversation with people about any topic, enter in and we don't listen to the other person because mm-hmm. we're too hot on it?
Mm-hmm.
And you see something like that here, right? You see that here. And, you know, like, for crying out loud, Peter is, in the film, he's only 15 years old. So there's, in some ways, less responsibility on him for that. But he's got to realize that he's only 15 years old.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that he's not valuable at 15. What it means is that
he's more vulnerable.
He's more vulnerable.
He has
and
a lot
he may
to learn.
And he does have things to learn, exactly.
Coming from a 19-year-old, he has a lot.
And here's a kid who's saying he's going to drop out of school. Like, he's putting everything aside. You know, I don't need to go to college. And then he gets cut off. Talking about going to college. What do you think about the idea of patience? And I know that, you know, you can make the joke about Captain America at the end of the movie.
No.
But I think there's a huge aspect of that to Peter in this movie.
Yes. I feel like Peter, he really has a lack in patience when it comes down to superhero situations.
Sure.
Like, as Tony told him to wait, don't do anything I would do, and don't do anything I wouldn't do. So
yeah.
Kind of
basically, be still, don't do anything.
So he said, just be your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and be patient. But Spider-Man got out, like, he didn't listen to him, and he was not patient while going after Vulture.
Mm.
He also wasn't patient waiting for the calls, as you've seen on the phone, when he was on the subway or whatever he was doing, you've seen how many texts that he had on.
Yeah.
Like, texting him. So he also was pretty annoying. So it's almost like, as you get annoying, the less and less the person wants to help you. So I just feel like he really lacked in patience, like, especially when he was calling himself an Avenger.
Yeah.
He was, like, lacking in his patience to, like, reach the top. Like, he was just saying he was there, right? Like, he was an Avenger, basically. So I feel like he could have been, like, way more patient with the whole, like, superhero thing.
Like, I understand where he's coming from when he has lack of patience because, once again, he's in the dark. He doesn't know what's going on. He hasn't been contacted in more than 2 months. Like, and I'd be like, what the F? Like, what is going on? But, like, also, you gotta trust that Tony, quote-unquote, knows what he's doing, even though we don't know what he's doing, because it doesn't look like he's doing anything. But anyway, that's another story. But yeah, I think if Peter waited a little bit, then he would have got what he wanted. Because, like, on the phone, when he was in the ferry...
Yeah.
He was on the phone with Tony, and he said, good things will happen, and he didn't get a chance to do that because he was already in a crisis.
Hmm. Yeah, it's, is that hard for you guys?
Patience?
Yes. Oh, heck to the yes.
Yeah.
Why? Why is it so hard?
I don't know. I think I'm getting better at it, like, really slowly as I've gotten, like, older. I'm not old, but, I think... Once I get older, I think it'll get a bit better. I think once I have kids, it'll get better.
Mm.
But I think it's just hard for teenagers in general.
Why? Patience, why do you say that?
I think our patience level is just low because we just, I don't know, we want everything now kind of thing.
And, yes, especially when you're wanting to become...
We want everything now. We want to kind of get stuff done, like, immediately. We don't want to wait on stuff. But then we also procrastinate, so... It's a double-edged sword, but, yeah, I think I struggle with it a lot.
Sure.
I'm not very good with it. I'm getting better, though, really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something exciting, then I would be not patient because I want it to happen now, and, the anticipation probably will kill me internally, yeah. And
like becoming an Avenger.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm serious. That's a big deal for him, right?
I know.
It's exciting. It's a label, though. Like, that's why I think he's so, like Jacob mentioned, he's stuck on the word. You know, he keeps saying, oh, am I an event? Can I be an event? And he wants to get that thing, right?
What bothers me is at the end, when he gets the opportunity, he says no. I know it's like a test. And every cliche where he wants this, and then he gets it at the end, and then he's like, nah, I think I'll stay here.
It's not a test. He actually got it.
Yeah, there was actually...
I know. And he's like, but it's kind of like a cliche, like...
Okay.
If you become an Avenger, you give up going to school, being with your friend or friend for Peter, you see your aunt less, see your family members less, and you drop everything just to become an Avenger. And yeah, but there's also that thing, like, you wanted it, why didn't you take it?
Well, you know what? That's interesting that you brought that up. So this is one of the things that I wondered about this. What do you guys think about the idea of things that are small in this movie? Now, I'm not talking like Ant-Man small. I mean, when Tony's talking to him, he says, just be your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Help guys with bikes. Help the woman find the directions. Do your homework. You talk about giving up the things like that. there seems to be a really heavy emphasis in this movie on the importance of the things that are small.
Yeah.
Do you think they're important?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you, like, let's say, like, when he helped that older lady, like, with directions, I think he was helping her with, that could, like, that changed her day. Like, she knew where she was going, and now she knows where she's going. Mm. And then if someone's bike's getting stolen, you help them get their bike. Like, it's small. You don't have to, like, save the world to be a superhero.
Mm. Okay.
Or you don't have to save the world to be, like, important. Mm-hmm. Doing small things can. I mean, you might not get as much gratification. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I helped a lady across the street. Yahoo. Whoop-de-doo. Like, but in reality, helping a lady across the street did help the lady across the street. So it's not like you're not doing anything and just sitting on the couch and eating chips.
Okay.
I think, like, if you, like, because... you take your time to get to know the little things, like going to school and stuff, because it's like one of those little kids that are like, I want to grow up, and then when you grow up, it's like, oh, I want to be a kid again, you know. It's like taking the time to appreciate all those little moments in your life, because if you don't, it'll be gone, and you wish it'll, your life would be miserable.
I have no idea what it's like to wish that you could go back. I have more time behind me than in front of me. No, I'm kidding.
There's some people are like that. Okay, I'm not saying everybody. I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding. What do you guys think? The importance of the small.
Well, I definitely think that it's important if, you know, nothing big is happening.
Hmm.
Because, like, you know, at this point in time, like, the Avengers aren't really doing anything. At least nothing that they say that they're doing.
Right. Well, Cap is a war criminal, they refer to him as in this point.
So, like, you know, they're not, like, saving New York. They're not saving, quote-unquote, saving Sokovia. Like, you know, it's not like
they're there.
Doing such, like, a major mission.
Mm-hmm.
So while they're not doing that, they need somebody who is going to handle the, like, smaller things. Like, you know, helping that lady across the road or giving her directions. If Spider-Man wasn't there, she could have gone down the wrong alley. Who knows what could have happened?
Mm.
Or if she wasn't helping him across, or if he wasn't helping her across the street, who knows if she would have made it across the street? Like, you know, you don't really think about what could have happened after if that person wasn't there to do, like, the little things. So I think, like, you know, if there's a bigger task that should be done that's of more importance, then I think, you know, Spider-Man should have gone and done that, but because nothing's happening and there are still the little things that need to get done that need help, then those are of, like, major importance at that time.
The thing that I like about this is that it makes the little things actually have value, because you guys have hit it on the head. I think that, you know, they put so much emphasis on saving the world in these movies that it takes away from the average everyday person.
Yeah.
It really does. And I mean, you know, when I look at the life of Jesus, I don't just see a guy who's feeding 5,000 people. I see a guy who's letting, you know, kids come and, you know, talk to him and hang out and helping one person here and talking to people there. I see a God who cares about the little details and not just the grand scheme of things, you know. And that's one of the things I like about this movie, is it reminds us that those little things are actually important. Mm-hmm. But too often, at the times, we get caught up in the big plans and lose sight of the little things that get you there. And I think that that's what I like about a movie like this. It reminds us, because it reminds us not just that the country matters, but you matter, and you matter, and you matter, and you matter. Like, this is, you know, this is what is the case. Yes, and she matters too, but I said it only four times because there's only supposed to be four people on this episode.
I know.
She matters too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you matter. But that may be a good place, I think, for us to wrap up on this app. we are back tomorrow with Thor Ragnarok, and you're taking the reins again because I have not seen this movie. It's on you.
Yes. Team Hulk's butt.
What?
You'll find out.
Apparently, I will find this out. So, again, thank you guys for being on. And who will take us out? Do you want to take us out?
To Infinity War and maybe beyond.